from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You might be wondering, why did we sing a hymn like that before the sermon? The reason is, the sermon's title this morning is Dinner Time. Based on John chapter 6, the gospel we read, these verses, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Again, our sermon theme is dinner time. And you'll find the outline for the message on the back of your handout this morning. I'm going to ask a question. And I'm going to ask for a show of hands so you can give me your answer. The way you answer this question will tell me something about where you were born and raised, or perhaps at least what generation you have come from. Here's the question. When you refer to the three meals of the day, do you say breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Or do you say breakfast, dinner, and supper? Let's vote for number one. Do you call them breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Raise your hand.
Yes.
Yeah. Does anybody say breakfast, dinner, and supper? We have a few. Oh, Michael, was your hand up? How about that? That tells me something about where you were raised, what generation you might be in. On our old dairy farm, my grandparents always said breakfast, dinner, and supper. And the rural congregation in Alberta we came from here over 5 years ago, the people in that congregation still say breakfast, dinner, and supper. Well, however you refer to these meals, all of us love to eat. And I sure do, and I'll be waiting for a phone call from any of you. You can invite me to breakfast, lunch, dinner, supper, whatever you want to call it. I'll be there. Today's gospel lesson is about the importance of eating, but eating in a spiritual sense. Jesus calls himself in the gospel reading both the bread of heaven and the living bread that came from heaven. This is a reference to the Old Testament image of manna, the bread that God sent from heaven to feed the people of Israel when they wandered the wilderness to the promised land. They were hungry. And one morning they arose and saw, as dew upon the ground, flakes of bread. Listen to this text. Exodus 16. In the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp, and when the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. The Hebrew word for "what is it?" is manna. And so that's what they called this wonderful bread from heaven. What is it? Manna. In today's gospel reading from John 6, Jesus says about himself, I am the bread of life. I am the living bread that's come down from heaven. And then he says, eat me, that is, trust in me. Take me in and you will live forever. His exact words are these in John 6. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. But I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. Truly I say to you, whoever believes in me has eternal life. This bread of life, Jesus, is given to us to meet our deepest needs. Now please note, the scripture never promises that God will grant us all our wants and desires, but he will meet our deepest needs. Anybody who has children certainly knows. There's a difference between a child's wants and a child's needs. A child wants candy, junk food, unlimited television, their own play schedule, and no household chores. That's what I would like too. But a child needs discipline, love, forgiveness, encouragement, guidance, security, and hope. Now, some of us adults want a brand new car, a job promotion, a larger bank account, and the list goes on. But what we all need is the same thing that children need. We need love and discipline, forgiveness, encouragement, guidance, security, and hope. And to meet our deepest needs for this life and the life to come, Jesus, the bread of life, was broken upon the cross. Jesus said, "This bread is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world." Now, I've seen this dramatically portrayed in a dramatic worship service, where the leader of the service took a whole loaf of bread, held it against the cross on the altar, and broke it into pieces to dramatically portray that Jesus, the bread of life, was torn upon that cross. Can you get that picture in your mind? Upon the cross of Calvary, Jesus, the living bread, was broken. His body was torn and broken as he faced the onslaught of the powers of hell in your place. As he faced the powers of sin and death and the devil there on that cross, he died for you and for me. And there on that cross, he won forgiveness for your sin, victory over your death, and the defeat of the devil in your place. And when he rose from the grave, Jesus opened wide the gates of heaven to all who put their faith in him. And he promised to be the bread of life who will strengthen us and meet our every need from this life to life everlasting. All of these blessings Jesus, the bread of life, provided. But like a good meal filled with nutrients, there is no benefit to you unless the meal is eaten. Jesus says we must eat this bread of life. Here are his words in John 6. Jesus said, "I tell you the truth. Unless you..." Did you hear that? "Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you will have no life in you. But the one who feeds on me will live because of me." Eating is necessary for physical and spiritual life. If you don't eat your meat and potatoes and vegetables, you can get sick and die. So it is with our spiritual life. We need to feed on Jesus, to daily take him into our life. In the past, Scripture says, God provided manna to feed his hungry people. Today, he provides Jesus, the bread of life. The meal is served. Oh, here it is. The meal is served. Come and get it every Sunday. The meal is served as God's holy word is proclaimed in the sermon. The meal is served as Jesus' precious body and blood are served in the table of Holy Communion. The meal is served when the waters of holy baptism are poured in the powerful name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The meal is served as the words of God are sung and spoken in our liturgy, in our worship. And we need to eat whenever the meal is served. Often as a pastor, I'm reminded of my grandmother. My grandmother, we called her Big Grandma. She was a big grandma, big farm lady. No matter how much we ate, she would always say, "There's more! Eat more! Eat more! Please eat more!" Often as a pastor, I feel like my grandmother on the farm. The meal is served. Eat more. Keep eating God's nutritious meal for you. On our old dairy farm, my grandmother used to ring a bell. go to the back screen door of the house and ring a bell and tell the guys in the field, boys, dinner is served. Later this month, however you receive communication, you will get either an email or a written notice in your mailbox, or there will be a half sheet in your bulletin to outline all of the opportunities to gather together in September as the meal of the Word of God is served to you in our various and many Bible classes. I ask you to print or hold on to this list of Bible classes. Put it on your refrigerator door. So when you grab for the food of this world that perishes, you will see also the food of life that serves to you starting in September. Now it's true that eating is a response to a felt need. You feel hungry, the action is eating. But if you think of yourselves as all-sufficient, if you think of yourselves as having no needs, no sins, no spiritual hunger, then you have no need of Jesus, the bread of life. But if you know sin and its consequences in your life, if you know the emptiness of this dying world with its promises, if you know the shortness of this life, if you know of your need for a closer walk with God, then eat the bread of life that God provides. Eating is personal. No one can eat for you. Now, this might seem like simple common sense. You don't sit down at a dinner table and expect somebody else to eat for you. You have to eat yourself. But in spiritual matters, often common sense is lacking. When you sit down at the supper table, you never expect someone else to eat for you. Ridiculous. You eat for yourself. But in spiritual matters, here's what I have heard some people say, even to me. Well, you see, my parents, they believe. Oh, my wife believes, and she attends church. Well, I drop off my children for Sunday school, or my best friend, you know, I hear he goes to Bible class. Jesus says that it is you who needs to eat. Again, listen to the text. Jesus says, I tell you the truth. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you'll have no life in you. But whoever eats this bread will live forever. Now, though it might sound like it, these words about eating the flesh of Jesus and drinking His blood are not a reference to Holy Communion. Let me just share quickly four reasons why not. At the time these words were spoken, Jesus had not even yet instituted Holy Communion. Secondly, Jesus in this text is addressing unbelievers, and communion is for believers only. The text says eating and drinking are unto salvation, and Holy Communion is for those who are already saved. Finally, Holy Communion does not produce salvation. It's an assurance and a guarantee of the salvation already won at the cross. But the text tells us that Jesus is the bread of life. Eating the bread of life in John's gospel really means a trusting faith in Jesus. Eating bread equals trusting Jesus. This is what our Lord has been talking about all along in chapter 6. Listen to some key verses. Verse 29, last Sunday's sermon text. Jesus says, this is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom God has sent. Verse 35, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never hunger. He who believes in me will never thirst. Verse 40, for my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in Him shall have everlasting life. And verse 47, I tell you the truth. Whoever believes in me has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Eating the bread of life in John's text refers to a personal trust in Jesus. A personal trust that what he has done at Calvary's cross, he has done for me. That the enemies of sin, death, and devil, he has defeated at Calvary's cross. He has done that for me. It's a realization that all you really need for this life and the life to come, he has done for you. Now, so very often as a pastor, I deal with people who are in times of crisis or who are near death. I made a home visit like that this week. In these times when everything else in life seems to be stripped away, fleeting and temporarily useful earthly needs and wants suddenly have no importance. Only what is really important and eternal are on the hearts and the minds of the people at that time. And oh, that every one of us today would every day realize what's really important. Oh, that every one of us would daily live with the strength and the hope that comes from holding on to what is really important in life. Oh, that every one of us would daily trust that all we really need, God has fully provided in Jesus, the bread of life. Freely provided. Years ago, I heard the story of a Scotsman who was traveling to the New World. He had saved his money to book passage on an ocean liner. He didn't have a lot of money, and that which he had, he wanted to pinch as tightly as he could. So on this trip, he packed some crackers and some cheese and some fruit, deciding to save money on spending meals on the ocean liner. But after a few days, the crackers were stale, the cheese was moldy, and the fruit was rotten. But toughing it out to the last day of his ocean journey, he decided he would make one trip to the dining room of the ocean liner to have one good meal before he walked onto the New World. And when he got there, his eyes couldn't believe what he saw. The sumptuous and rich and delicious foods just piling on the tables. But the thing he heard next surprised him even more. Because the chief steward said, "Sir, please come and sit down. This food is all yours for the taking. All of this food is included in the price of your ticket. You could have been eating freely this entire voyage." Sadly, this is the way so many men and women, boys and girls today act toward Jesus, the bread of life. They are choosing rather to feed on the dry crackers of human philosophy, on the spoiled fruit of worldly wisdom, rather than trusting in Jesus and receiving from Him the sumptuous banquet that God has provided. And my friends, this banquet was fully paid for at the cross. My friends, maybe you're tired. I hope you are. Maybe you're tired of the bad food this world has to offer. Maybe you're tired of eating it and never being filled. My friends, set aside your stale crackers. Throw away your spoiled fruit. Jesus' offer is still good today. He said, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever." Please listen one more time to the invitation my grandmother used to bellow out at the back screen door of our dairy farm. Because her words are really Jesus' words for you and for all people today. The words are, "It's dinner time. Come. The banquet has been prepared for you. In the name of Jesus, the bread of life. Amen.